We're very giggly today. Welcome to House Seats Presents. Woo! I forget that it's actually Monday. It seems like not Monday. I don't know what day that it seems like, but it definitely doesn't feel like Monday. I don't know how it is for you in the performer world, Andrew, but today does not feel like Monday.
It feels like Monday to me.
There you go. Well, from here, we have Andrew Ragone here today from Steve Wynn's Showstoppers. Woo! And, you know, Andrew, this is your first time at the show.
First time.
This is show number 30 almost, Scott. 32. What? Oh my gosh, we've hit the 30 mark already. Wow. Andrew was asking earlier how long we've been doing this. We've been doing this for 32 shows.
Wow.
We have a nice little audience out there. Jason, yeah. Keely, hi everybody. So at the top of the show, we always talk about what we did over the weekend, and the weekend really much pretty much included our time at the Wynn. Jason and I went and saw the show on Friday. Because I don't remember the days of the week. That was us at Parasol Down afterwards.
Isn't it amazing?
I forget how beautiful. See, the Wynn always makes me feel like I'm on vacation when I'm there.
Because I know.
He purposely blocked the strip. I remember reading this back when they built it, you know, because Bellagio is very much the spectacle for everyone to see.
Mm-hmm.
When he brought everything inward. So you have to actually be on property to see everything around you.
Right. That's where I take all my friends when they come into town.
I love it.
It's such a cool place.
It was a really odd night. So it started raining over us, but we were in the seats that are kind of underneath the awning.
Uh-huh.
Wow, we have a little snow. You know, I did get hailed on yesterday, very randomly. So it cleared out really fast, but we just sat there the whole night. We had the Showstopper beverage.
Do you know
they have a Showstopper beverage?
I didn't know that.
What is it?
Oh, what is it?
It's Wild Turkey. I know that, number one. There and then a bunch of other ingredients. It's a very sweet, delicious cocktail, though. And I think it has like a candied orange peel on there.
Oh.
Very fancy cocktail. So we had a couple of those after the show. And then lost some money at the, you know, machines there. So we gave you some money, Mr. Wynn.
Yes, he's happy.
He is, I know. Oh, wow. These are sound effects I've never heard on our show thus far. And I know we live in the land of dreams here. So we came to the show. And I think, wow. So that showroom has been there for almost the whole time Wynn's been open, I think, maybe over 10 years, because Avenue Q opened that showroom.
Avenue Q opened it, and then I think...
And they had some headliners in after that. Some Garth Brooks was in there for a little
and
while.
And also Spamalot.
Oh, that's right. We had Monty Python, Spamalot. And I think Beyonce was in there one time.
Oh, too. You're right.
I vaguely remember having to audition in what was Tryst then. Now it's the other club, the new club. But we went in Tryst and we had to audition to try to get front row tickets to the Beyonce concert.
That's hilarious.
So me, a couple of my friends, we did all the single ladies. It's a very bad moment. Wow. You can't say anything without...
Did you get the tickets?
No, we did not. We were probably the worst act. In fact, my friend who was the PR person for Wynn, who saw us when she looked up when we were coming out, and she's like shaking her head like, because I think we were wearing heels. I wasn't wearing a leotard, but we were in heels trying to do the dance. I don't dance.
Well,
don't ask me. I don't dance. But Showstoppers. So Showstoppers has been there about 2 years now.
Yes.
Right. And you actually have been in the show since its inception.
Since the very beginning. Yeah. We started rehearsal the beginning of October 2014.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
nice.
Yeah.
And did you have to audition for Mr. Wynn?
How did the
audition process
actually
come for you? Did you have to audition?
Of the six principal singers, I'm the only one that didn't. Isn't that crazy?
Let me just make sure the camera has this because he doesn't need to audition, ladies and gentlemen. He just gets hired on the spot.
There was originally supposed to be two guys and two girls.
Okay.
And then they found Lindsay, who does the Chicago numbers.
Right, right.
And so they were looking for a guy to kind of match it. And
gotcha.
So they kind of went back on an audition search. I was actually doing the show Into the Woods, actually up in Vermont.
Oh, my goodness.
And we hadn't even opened yet. And we were in rehearsal, and I get a call from various people that had kind of thrown my name in the thing.
Yeah,
and they said,
yeah,
would you just send a video in? And if you've ever been a performer, a video audition rarely works because they want you in the room. And of course, I would assume Mr. Wynn wants to see you
right
in front of him.
Correct.
So I did it, hidden from the theater company because we hadn't even opened yet.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
we had like a 2 month run ahead of us.
Sure.
So I did it, didn't think twice about it. And then the last night of tech, which means we're about to open like in 2 days, I get a call saying, you know, almost midnight on the East Coast saying, would you like to come do it? And I said, of course.
Yeah.
I'm like, but how do I get out of that? But it all ended up working out great.
Yeah.
A friend of mine came and filled in for me. But it was
so you came back to Vegas because Andrew, as you know,
Andrew is very famous for his role as Raoul in the amazing, spectacular Venetian.
Yes, the Phantom of the Opera.
So we still see shows in that showroom. I mean, we think we saw Carly Rae Jepsen. We've seen, who was the Italian lady we saw there?
Carlo.
Who's the famous Italian actress? Sophia Loren. We saw her there.
Sophia Loren.
Random. Oh, wow. Very random show. But the showroom to me still is the Phantom showroom. I don't care if they call it the Venetian Theater or whatever they want to call it. When you walk in there, it is just paying homage to the Phantom.
They still have the chandelier.
The chandelier. And you have a name for the chandelier, right?
Maria. Yeah. After the scenic designer. Yeah.
It still looks like that theater.
I love that show. I mean, that show was such a beautiful moment for me, you know, because it just... It was done so beautifully, you know, an $80 million show.
Yeah. If you have money to spend, this is what... So you came here for Phantom.
I did, yeah.
So tell us how you got here and where you came from.
I came from New York. Yeah. I had been doing a concert in Canada and had totally lost my voice the week before this audition. And strangely enough, my agent had pulled me out of that call.
Yeah.
Because he said, agents get only a certain amount of spots. It's not just that they want to see you. A certain agency might get like 5 spots.
Right.
So he had pulled me out of it, but I was like, I am so right for this part. And I don't know why I felt it in my bones that I was like, I need to be seen. So I kept haunting them and just being like, listen, I'll be fine. You know, I just need a week to kind of get over this. And finally I like pushed in. They said, okay, we got you in on a Wednesday morning. And I went in there like at 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. They were able to squeeze me the first person in. I come out of I sang and I did a couple of scenes, and I come out of the audition and one of the guys there was like, oh, were you here? Was it the same people as yesterday? And I'm like, wait a minute, it's my first audition.
Yeah.
Well, my agent got me to the callbacks.
Oh.
So about a 20-minute audition, about 2 hours later, I landed the job. So it was
has good luck with auditions.
I did. You know what? Strangely enough,
some people don't test well. This
I know
is who you want to be in a room with.
We've talked about this more. Like when you do like regional theater, if you're like an actor, regional theaters are like the theaters in your community that do like, you know,
like
a month
summer theater. Something
like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you go in New York for those and you'll go in for like 6 callbacks for a run. And we always laugh because we're always thinking, you know, if you make a mistake, I mean, I'm only there for like 3 weeks to a couple months, you know?
Right, right.
I mean, it's not like, but then you'll go in for these big auditions and it's something about like these creative staff.
$80 million.
I know. They're like,
check.
I feel like they know, they know how to pick, you know, they know how to, what they're doing. I think it's like a confidence in what they're doing. So, and also it helped. I had worked with Hal Prince, who was the director, the legendary director of that. I had been on the national tour of Evita as one of the leads. So I think when my name came up, he was the only person of, like, there was probably about 15 people there.
Yeah.
And he was the only person that they said, well, you might have to come back in a couple days now to sing for him. And then a couple hours later, I get a call and he said, he knows that I can do it. So,
you know, I read somewhere for you that you had obviously seen Phantom of the Opera when you were younger.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was actually the first Broadway show I ever saw.
Yeah.
I saw in London. Oh, not London. I saw it in L.A.
Okay.
With Davis Gaines.
Who's amazing.
Who was amazing, because I ended up seeing later on in Vegas perform in some random theater up in Summerlin.
Huh.
But I was mesmerized. Now, I listened to all the music when I was younger. My cousin and I sang it when all of our older cousins would go off on Saturday nights. She and I were kind of stuck at home.
Yeah.
We'd play, you know, with the blankets over our head, and we bought a little mask and everything.
Totally.
And tried to do it. But yeah, that was the first show we saw. We saw in LA, and it was just, you know, it profoundly changed your life when you see your first Broadway show.
For sure.
And for you, I want to understand, because you're saying, like, when you see the show, you can see yourself in that role. You would say, one day I'm going to play something in this role. Did you think it was Raoul? Did you think it was the Phantom? How did you see yourself in that?
I think it was because when I saw the show, I was a lot younger.
Yeah.
I remember my aunt had the CDs of it, and she took us through we were on like a road trip, and she told us she had seen it in Los Angeles, and she went through every little bit, and I was like, wow, I got to see this show. Well, it opened, I'm from Northern California.
Yeah.
So it was open in San Francisco and with Davis Gaines.
Yeah.
And
too funny.
I went and saw it, and then my voice teacher was Pianji, the heavy guy. So I ended up, I took like a class from him, and then I said, hey, I would love to take voice from you.
Yeah.
So he took me on as like, he auditioned me basically, because he's like, I don't want to take on a bunch of, you know, basic singers, you know. So he auditioned me.
Mom wants to get into.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everyone says their kid's the best, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took from him, and then when I was in the show, I remember telling, you know, so many people that it's like, when I was a kid, I knew, like, I would watch that show and I'd be like, I think I wanted to be Raoul because I think I identified younger than the Phantom. But then having done the show, I've loved singing Music of the Night. I do it in concerts. So I think it's one of those ones where it's like, now if I could play it again, I would love to play the Phantom.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, he gets that emotional journey. You know, he's only on stage for like 21 minutes.
The funny thing about it, he's barely on the stage.
Yeah.
Raoul was actually my favorite character in the show.
Aww.
Because my cousin and I used to sing All I Ask all the time. It was like, it was the best song. You have to have a moment about that.
When I got offered the show, they said, just don't screw up All I Ask of You because everyone knows it. Yeah. So you can't screw it up because everyone knows that damn song, you know?
And it's the one song.
And it is. And I did screw it up when my first.
How'd that go?
Well, I did screw it up one night. I was in the show and obviously.
$90 million, remember.
And I could feel it, like the lyrics are going. And I was like, let me be inside you. And I said, inside you. And I'm like, and Christy, our Christine, was like, her eyes like opened up like giant saucers. And I'm not kidding you. I heard the front few rows kind of audibly. Like, did he really say that?
You just tell him that's the Vegas version.
That's right. We got to keep it a little racy here.
We change it up, little
Vegas.
Darlings. We change it up for you here.
No, so I made my mark in that legendary show.
And they will always remember that show. Like, I don't think that was a lyric, honey.
No.
But yeah. Wow. I've always wondered if people feel like when they muck up the lyrics like that, where, you know, like obviously the reaction of your co-star, like, what did he just say?
Yeah.
Because usually you want to play off of what someone is doing. And of course, when you're performing a song and a show every night, and keeping it fresh like that.
Yeah.
He just threw it out there. Just be like, inside you.
And she was just, the funny part was it took her like about 20 seconds to like recover. Because I think she also got a little thrown. I mean, she's of course laughing inside, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like sitting there going, don't throw me under the bus. Yeah, don't throw me under the bus.
She can think of a lyric she can come back with like, oh, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I have to tell you, Andrew and I first met, I think you started coming to DW Bistro.
Yes. Love.
So we had the whole Phantom cast most of the time and the Jersey Boys cast. Yeah. They would reserve a table of like 50,000 people. No.
Yeah.
Back on a Sunday when we had one restaurant.
Oh my God.
We just had the one side of our restaurant. We didn't even add it.
I know. Getting into your restaurant on the Sunday morning. Oh, Jesus.
You know, when we first open, honestly, see Scott over here, he tells everyone, I don't go on Sundays. So
I know, I know.
I'm like, why does everybody always feel that way?
Because we've been there. know how hard it is to get in on that.
You know,
day.
I made my partner here, Jason, I made him do the mimosas yesterday because Dalton was out doing our pop-up. And so Jason was behind the bar pouring the mimosas because we still do all day mimosas.
Oh God, yeah, of course.
He looked over at me and he was like overwhelmed. I said, I know, this is because it's crazy. I mean, that door is nonstop. But when Andrew used to come there, it was literally like we had a tiny restaurant. We had maybe like, you know, maybe like 12 tables besides the patio, teeny tiny. And he would come Sunday morning, and I swear everyone was hungover from the show.
Yeah.
And they're rolling in. They're like, it's us.
It's our day off on Sunday. Phantom and in Showstoppers. Our day
it was
off
great.
Sunday.
And we got very acquainted. And I really, really, really loved that the show community wrapped around DW because as I was talking prior to the show starting, Andy Wright in our office, he is starting a whole series. Well, he's been starting a whole series for us called The Set List, which we've done for the last year and a half. So we recreate great albums from start to finish.
That's amazing.
So when we walked in here, Scott was playing Amy Winehouse because we did an Amy Winehouse show at Brooklyn Bowl a few months back.
I heard about
that. Yeah. Oh, we've done Alanis Morissette. We've done Van Halen. We've done John Bon Jovi. We've done Thriller. So we're doing Rocky Horror Picture Show in October. So if he's still here, I know we're going to talk about Showstoppers because it's closing September
30th.
Oh, so you might be here.
Maybe.
He doesn't go to New York yet.
Yep.
If we can get Rocky Horror done early enough, we can get you in the show in October.
That'd be great.
That'd be awesome. But yeah, so Showstoppers.
Yeah.
Tell us how, obviously the process of being in the show. So the show itself is not another show that's on Broadway. It's an original production of songs that have been compilated to make Showstoppers.
Yeah, songs that were like big hits and were numbers that could be recreated on their own.
Right.
And sometimes they have a little bit of different spin than the show does, or sometimes they're kind of closely resembling the thing, but they're just songs that really like audiences have loved that are timeless kind of songs, you know?
And they have picked some interesting numbers. I mean, excuse me, you have, we sang along to Annie, Get Your Gun, you know, Anything You Can Do.
Yeah.
I Can Do Better. It's, that's one of the most fun songs.
I know. It's funny because we get to do giant, you know, show-stopping numbers.
Yeah.
And then you can do a small number like that, but the lyrics are so funny.
And, oh, and the two and, of them.
Oh my God, Randall off. And Rachel.
Randall Keith, right?
Randall Keith, yeah.
He is hysterical.
Isn't he funny?
Oh my God. I think Andy wanted to get him in one of our shows. I think I've seen him. He might have done some regional theater with the Super
Summer. He was in Spamalot with me.
Oh, he was.
Phantom with
he
me.
He was.
He was in Phantom with me. Yes. He was one of the swings.
Yes, he was. He was, because I'd seen Phantom there probably about 10 times at the Venetian.
Yeah.
I'm addicted to Phantom. That was kind of. We got a nice. I think we were there like the last few days of the show.
Uh-huh.
So they took us on a backstage tour. I got my picture taken up on stage.
Yeah.
The empty back. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful theater.
Yeah.
But yeah. So you obviously numbers like we're looking up here. We see Cell Block Tango from Chicago.
Yeah.
You have multiple numbers from Cabaret.
Yep.
And
you were
saying
you loved it.
Oh yes.
Love
it. Well, we saw Cabaret just the other night when they came to Smith Center.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'd never really seen the updated version, even with, you know, who came in. They've had Neil Patrick Harris as the MC they've had.
Yeah.
Alan Cumming, which I think he's coming here.
Oh, he is.
He's going to be here at the Smith Center.
Oh.
In July. Oh, no. That was July. We're in August now.
Yep.
He came already.
We missed him.
He came already. Mm-hmm. This is obviously from Cabaret as well.
Yes.
And then you do some numbers from Fosse and Chicago.
Grease
and,
now.
And so Grease. So Grease, talk about Grease, because Grease is a new number you put in the show.
Yep.
So obviously you play Danny.
Yeah.
Yes. And don't tell me your name because I know her. Nicole.
Nicole Kaplan.
Nicole was so much fun.
Isn't she great?
Oh my gosh. What was your favorite number, Jay? Nicole did. She did... She was like, she's tripping over everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm blanking right now. But she's hilarious.
Over the trip.
Yeah,
yeah. She played that very well.
She's amazing.
So
like
fun
she can
to
be
watch.
Funny. She has a great voice. She's just beautiful, of course, as you see.
And then who was the other lead who belted out both every Barbara Streisand and Judy Garland number in the
that's
show?
That's Rachel Tyler.
Wow.
Yeah.
And goosebumps when she came out and sang. I mean,
know,
people were just. And you know, the audience, so this is one of the questions that we have come up a lot. So, you know, we've talked to a number of guests here. You know, there's obviously a place for the major big shows like the Cirque shows and Blue Man Group and large scale shows. But we talk about, you know, Matt Goss. We talk about Frankie Moreno. We talk about people who put on smaller shows that have a more intimate group of people where they're doing more of the old standards, the old numbers.
Yeah.
Because you do look at the demographic of the audience. I know the demographic of the Wynn is a little bit older sometimes.
Yeah.
But, you know, they really identify with the music.
Yeah. I think the true test is if it's an older song per se when it was written, it's how you tell it. And it can be timeless. And a lot of the ones in a show work because they are timeless songs. And if they're done really well, you don't want to see them done mediocre. Then it feels dated and feels like tired. You know, there's that kind of thing. But there's a way that they are able to do them in such a way that if you have really great talented people, and I think that's what Steve Wynn is great about. He hired like the best talent, 30 dancers. I mean, that's
they're
crazy.
Amazing. And you know, we had Tina Walsh on here. She came on right the week of Jubilee's closing because there were a lot of people in town for the closing. So she came. She was a alumni cast, and she was talking about, well, you know, she was in Phantom, and she was in the Phantom tour right now, or she I think
the
she,
world tour,
yeah, the
yeah,
world
yeah,
tour
sure.
of it. But we were talking about all the costuming and whatnot, and so we had mentioned the costuming in the show is amazing.
Unbelievable. The thing about shows, they just spared no expense. I mean, all those showgirl costumes in Razzle Dazzle, each one of those is $50,000.
Oh my gosh. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
$50,000.
Each one, yeah.
Oh
it was crazy. And they're just beautiful. You know, the thing about it is like, Steve wanted it, what I really respected, he, like what you were saying is like, creating like a big show with an intimate feel.
Yeah.
That's why we kind of address the audience. We don't ignore you.
Yeah.
You're not a fourth wall in it. And it is to bring you in a part of it. And I think that was a cool challenge for all of us six principals. We've done a lot of Broadway shows.
Right.
So a lot of times you do cut off that audience you cut them off in the sense that they're not acknowledged,
right.
You know, as part of playing your number.
Yeah.
But it was fun to kind of rediscover that kind of feel. I do it with concert work, you know, travel the world with concerts and stuff, but I do that. But it was fun to kind of do this.
Well, you get that immediate reaction because I think even when, you know, she comes out to do Don't Rain on My Parade or a number where you're belting, she really accepts the audience and you know, people can standing ovations at random times in the show. It's not like it has to be, oh, I'll wait to stand up at the end because you're reacting right away to the person on stage rather than it being like, oh, okay, we're going to move on to the next number, because it's really tied to that personal performance.
That's what I like about the show. It's really different. Yeah. Phantom had like a feel, like as it went on, it was like you knew where the applause was,
right.
And there was like, you know, it's a different show, dramatic, and it had like a different feel.
Yeah.
This one, each night, it's like resonates differently with different groups. Like we've had a lot of dancers in town since there's like, this is like the dance competition, national time in Vegas, I guess. And because the show is so dance heavy, there's so many, there's 30 dancers, and you know, it has such a dance feel to that thing. And then you have these amazing singers. It's funny, like different moments resonate with these, you know, with the audience. Or you get an older audience that says, oh my God, that song, I remember that back then. And it's, you know, and that just kind of gives someone a memory of something that they loved.
Well, especially if they saw that particular show.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, particularly when somebody does try to take on a number, like a Barbra Streisand number, you know, you're like not even comparing the voice to that. You're just letting that stand alone.
Yeah.
But let's not forget that there's probably 30 plus orchestra members on stage with you.
Yeah.
That's even more like removed from the pit kind of situation.
Yeah.
You know, we had Keith Thompson on here a couple weeks ago talking about Idaho that he wrote.
Yeah, I loved it. I saw it.
And he talked about the same thing, having the orchestra on stage. It became part of the show. The orchestra itself becomes part of what's happening.
They're absolutely part of the show. You know, you feel their energy. It's a different sound when
when
you're on stage and they're kind of coming from you. It's not just piped in from the pit. And also getting to know them, because sometimes like in Phantom, they would have their own dressing space, and then they'd have to go over there and you would never see them. Occasionally, and now it's a lot of the same orchestra from our show. And now we really know them really well.
Yeah.
And they really do feel, the thing about it is like, we're also passionate about, you know, the thing about artists that I love is why I stay in the business too, is, you know, everyone has their passion behind it. And it's like mine's music and acting, and someone else's could be dancing and someone else could be playing music. But the feeling of like, the thing I love about this show is you feel it on stage with each of us. And I think we all get a chance to shine.
Everyone's connected.
You know, and they get and definitely the orchestra shines. I mean, you felt it, you know.
You said some of the orchestra were in Phantom Orchestra.
Yeah.
So they remember you from the show.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
They're like, there's Raul.
I know.
Did you have a particular orchestra people who were coming after you? Like, I loved you so much.
No, they're jaded. No.
Oh, No.
They're not jaded. They've done it all. I mean, some of them, they're with Celine sometimes too.
Yeah,
and
what it is
more like they love this show because it does promote what, like, excellent level, you know, showmanship, you know, all around. And so I think that was what I like about them. They're just always so, you know, we rehearse together.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they're gone and they're always a part of everything. So we're always celebrating them because they're unbelievable. I mean, you should hear them when we switch numbers, that we've switched them every few months or so.
Yeah.
And them to pick up something brand new, and you hear like 30 piece play. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're such, this is like the top of the town. I mean, these musicians are like the top musicians that here we have in Vegas.
I heard them. We went to the Sinatra 100th anniversary.
Yeah.
At the Wynn Theater there, and a lot of them were performing because they set up kind of similar staging from Showstoppers to put on the show.
Yeah.
Very talented. When you were talking about that, we were talking about the musicians as well. A lot of them. Where was I going with that? I had somewhere. I was going somewhere with them.
I don't know.
They do. Oh, that's this. Thank you, angels from above.
Jesus.
I know. They get to start. They get to play a lot of opening songs and closing songs. You know, finale songs from shows. You have one from A Chorus Line as a finale, but then you have, you know, Chicago's main number that obviously B.B. Newirth and a lot of other people made famous doing. That must be so gratifying in that sense, because you have that opening and closing numbers. They become like this whole like. I mean, people come in because that's what they remember. They, you know, I get goosebumps thinking about Chicago only because I got to see it with B.B. Newirth.
Yeah.
And when that song starts, you know, come on, baby. I mean, it's you just get taken back to when, oh, I remember when I saw it with so-and-so.
And I think that's what's always worked about our show is that it kind of brings you that memory. And I think that's what we celebrate on that. And then
that's true.
And then there's a lot of kids that come in, like I said, that come in, they've only heard it on the soundtrack.
Right.
And then I think it's exciting for them to get to meet them afterwards. A lot of times we'll go out and, you know, I think it's inspiring to show people like something done at such a great level.
Right.
And then hopefully inspire kids to go out and, you know,
yeah, and fulfill
be
it.
And be performers. You
well,
know?
You fulfill that sort of selfish desire that people have like in their head. And I'm sure this was in Steve Wynn's head because I know when they do like Bellagio Fountain Show, I remember they do one
from
Chorus Line in the Fountain Show. And when you see all the 30 plus dancers and you guys all coming out doing leg kicks and hats. I mean, that routine, see, I get goosebumps. That routine is so amazing that people can stage that every night.
I think that's why it's timeless
it's
again.
So
it's
awesome.
Again, that's what works about it is that it's like, it's it truly is, even outside of the show, we do so well that it really still makes you feel that. If it didn't, you would feel like it's like a cruise ship show
or something like that.
Yeah. But I think, we, you know, Bjork was brought in, Bjork Lee, who was the, who was his assistant, her assistant. And so she came in, she reset this, that number on the show. And so she talked about the history of it and every little bit in detail on it. So you have that history and you see that history on stage and you may not know it as an audience member, but it resonates.
Yeah.
In
because it comes off together in the way that it is. So with September 30th looming for you, what does that mean for Andrew and where will Andrew go?
Well, I'm going to be going back to New York,
okay,
you know, because this Broadway is kind of what I do. So, you know, so I miss Las Vegas. I've loved it. You know, when I left in Phantom, I thought, I think I'm ready to go back to New York. I had been here almost 5 years and I loved it, but I was thinking, okay, maybe it's time to do something new. And I got there and I missed it after I gave it like 6 months and I was like, I really miss it, you know? And, I'm not like a huge, I love New York and for the arts and their appreciation for that. But I don't love the daily life of New York. Like I'm not like a New Yorker do or die, but I do
love Vegas for what
I do
you've been
like
able to...
I didn't think I would, but
so everybody says,
You know, it's funny. Yeah. It's like you would, when I first moved here, the first 6 months I was like, okay, I'm not sure I fit in here. And then like I met a lot of the Jersey Boys and a lot of my cast and you get closer as you get going. And so you kind of have a community of people. And like you said, you know, Keith Thompson has that seeing those
composer showcase
and those things. I think Composer Showcase was the first time I really realized, oh, there's a whole
community, there's a good community going on,
you know, that does kind of what I do. And there's all these artists out here that love to do this too. And so that's kind of when I was like, oh, and then I explore, you know, then you give Vegas a chance and you understand what it is. And I love living here. So I mean, it's never say I wouldn't return.
Would you consider like your own kind of the best of like show? Because you know, you could play cabaret jazz at Smith Center or someplace where you put on an Andrew Ragone show of things that you've, songs that you've done in the shows that you've been in.
Yeah.
Evita, you have a nice laundry list of shows that people have followed.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can think about how many guests for the years you were at Phantom of the Opera have seen you.
Right.
And want to follow what you're doing and be able to come see, you know, like a, you know, 90 minute show of you or 70 minutes at the Smith Center. I'm just saying that.
No,
I'm just throwing it out there, Myron Martin.
Strangely enough, it is kind of in the works. There is something in the works. So.
See, I knew I'd wiggle it out of
I didn't want to throw it out
there. It's all right. So one thing for Showstoppers is concerned. So we have Showstoppers run through September 30th.
Yes.
It plays six nights a week. It's dark on Sundays.
Dark on Sundays.
7:30 during the week, 8 o'clock on
Fridays.
I remembered. Yeah. I'm very good. I remembered. We have a couple minutes left. Can we wrangle you to do a setlist show with us or some type of Broadway side by side? I know Andy Wright's going to
be okay.
Andy's probably watching on a boat in New York right now.
That's right.
He's on vacation. I texted him. I said, do you have any more of Andrew's pictures? He's like, I'm on a boat.
I said, where?
I don't know. He said, when I get service out here in the middle of the Atlantic, I'll let you know.
Funny.
So thank you for coming on the show.
Oh my God.
We're going to come see you a few more times before the show's over, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Well, cheers.
Cheers.
He's got his mule. I've got mine.
Yep.
Have a good night, guys. Bye.
Bye.